little bit about more about that. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you, Explorers. Thank you, Tim, for that wonderful editing. Particularly like that bit at the start. Thank you very much for that. That was super. That was our volunteer thank you meal. When Sue saw that, actually, because we had watched it beforehand, she said, what a face, is what she actually said. Yeah, what a face in the face I was pulling. Thought from my own wife. Anyway, part of the responsibility of a parent, of a father in particular, is to embarrass your children. And if my children ever see that, they will be truly embarrassed at the start there. But the attitudes of children towards their parents change as years go on. So I don't know if this means anything to you, but when I was really little, my dad could do anything. You know, he was my hero. He knew everything. He was super strong. He could do anything and everything. And then when I got a little older, I realized perhaps he wasn't as great as I thought. And I don't know, sometimes as children become young people, they maybe don't actually feel their dads are quite as good as they once were. Mark Twain, this is attributed to Mark Twain, but I'm not sure he did say it. But he's quoted as saying, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. And sometimes, you know, we go through those teenage things and then we get to the 20s and suddenly the relationship changes. And then if or when you have children and you realize, my word, it's not as easy as I thought, then all of a sudden your parents and your father in particular can become more relied upon and looked up to again. But here's some questions. There are things that dads do. These are generalizations, of course. But does anyone's dad here do dad dancing? Hands up if you're straight up there. Oh, yeah, a few hands up. Yeah, dad. Oh, yeah, I know your dad does. Ben White. Yeah, I know your dad does. Dad dancing. Here you go. Here's a dad, an old elderly dad demonstrating his dad dancing. The danger of this as you get older is it gets worse as you get older because the moves are more out of date and you forget that you couldn't do them in the first place. And you're more injured when you get up at the end of it as well. So watch the dad dancing. What about dad jokes? Whose dad here tells terrible jokes? Whose dad here tells terrible jokes? Yeah, I should ask you. Here's my one. Why do crabs never give to charity? Because they're shellfish. They're shellfish. They're so shellfish. Anyway, I got a groan in the first service. I didn't even get a groan in this service. Thank you. What about whose dads here never read instructions? Never read instructions. Yeah, instructions. Who needs instructions? They get to the end of that shelf they were building. They find a piece of wood and go, didn't need it. Didn't need it. It's not rare. It's not, it doesn't matter. Screws don't matter. And then whose dads here never ask for directions? Never ask for directions. Yeah, it is, apparently people trust sat-navs more these days. But it is a dad trait, isn't it? You cannot ask for directions. I'm one of those dads. I will argue with the sat-nav, actually, if it's telling me to go one way. I'll say, no, you're wrong, and go my way, which isn't always the right way. But, you know, these are traits in dads. And some of it leads to that thing of actually, many dads find it difficult, and not just dads, actually, to ask for help. To ask for help. To admit they can't do something on their own. To admit that they're maybe not as strong or as able or as capable as they'd like everyone else to think they are. And here we have this story of a dad, Jairus. And this, he was no ordinary dad, this Jairus, because A, he just had the one daughter who was 12. But also, does anybody see what Jairus was in that first line? Any of the children who are really on the ball who can read that? What was Jairus? Then a man, so second line, verse 41. Then a man named Jairus, what was he? Anybody read it? A synagogue leader. He was a synagogue leader. Now, to be a synagogue leader, you needed to be respected because the elders appointed you. So you were respected by other people. It was meant that you were someone with knowledge. You ordered the synagogue. You ordered the worship. So this was a very responsible man. Jairus was a responsible man. He was someone who others would look to. They would go to him for advice because he was a synagogue leader. And Jairus is at the end of his tether. He doesn't know what to do. he's at that place where he just doesn't know what he should do. And it says that he came and he fell at Jesus' feet. He fell at Jesus' feet. Can you imagine that? That there he was and he just falls down in front of Jesus at his feet. Now in that culture, you know, I've already talked about sometimes men, because of their pride or whatever, can't admit they're wrong. In that culture, you never were seen to be, to do something that others would look at and go, oh, that's dreadful, he's doing that. And you were, certainly you'd never humiliate yourself in any way. But actually falling at someone's feet in public was a really humiliating thing to do. And he fell at Jairus fell at Jesus' feet because he was desperate. Because he'd tried everything else. We saw in the drama, they'd tried everything else. There was nothing else he could do. There was no one else who could help him. So he fell at Jesus' feet. And Jesus says he'll go and help him. And they go, and the bit we didn't read in between, Kirsty didn't read to us, is they're then in this crowd, because there's a massive crowd around Jesus. Everyone wanted Jesus to help him. There's a massive crowd around Jesus. And what happens in a crowd, people are bashing into him, and all of a sudden Jesus feels some of his power go out of him because a lady who wanted to be healed had touched his cloak and she was healed. And he stops the crowd. And can you imagine what Jairus is thinking through all of this? You see, my daughter's dying. Hurry up. Hurry up. Come on. He's desperate. He's shown how desperate he is. And so and they stop in the crowd. And then we have this bit read at us. At the end, Jesus heals this woman and says to her, go in peace. And then it says, while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Can you imagine what Jairus felt then? You know, he'd humiliated himself in public. He'd fallen at Jesus' feet. He was absolutely desperate. And now he was told his daughter, his only daughter, died. His hopes, his dreams were gone. He'd have been angry. He'd have been angry he hadn't gone for help sooner. Angry with himself. Angry with the woman who'd stopped Jesus in the crowd. If only she hadn't stopped him, we could have got there earlier. Angry with Jesus for not coming quicker. Devastated. And he gets back. And what does Jesus say? Because Jesus overhears this. Jesus says to him, don't be afraid, just believe. She will be healed. Don't be afraid. Just like it said to that woman, peace be with you. A lot of time in the Bible, Jesus says to people, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And they go, and all the people are wailing and crying. And we heard some great wailing from the explorers, wailing and crying. And Jesus says, she's not dead, but asleep. And everyone laughs at him. They knew she was dead. And, you know, Jesus has been laughed at throughout history. He's laughed at today. People who follow Jesus are laughed at today for what they believe. He's laughed at. But Jesus gets the last laugh. Because Jesus just says to the girl, wake up. My child, get up. Her spirit returned. She stood up. She wanted something to eat. I didn't see a mention of a pony, but that was the explorer's interpretation. She wanted something to eat. She woke up. People were astonished. Now, I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know if you're unconvinced by all of this. I don't know if you've been dragged along because it's Father's Day. You're welcome wherever you are and whatever you believe this morning. But I know that all of us, fathers or not, at times in our lives we are proud. And we're in times in our lives, we try to pretend we don't need help. We can do things on our own. And some of us get to the place where we realize that the only way we can do this is if Jesus turns up. The only thing that's going to make a difference is if he comes and he meets with us and he helps us. And I just encourage you, fathers, but indeed all of us, fathers or not, but in particular today, fathers, you know, we're not good at reading instructions. We're not good at taking directions. We're not good at asking for help. But I believe, and I've discovered, that there is a God, a Father God, who loves us and who wants to help us whatever we're facing in life. And so ask. Ask for help, because I believe that he will. We don't need to be afraid. We can believe. We can discover the love and the help that Jesus has for all of us. I'm going to pray for us before we come towards the end of our service. Lord Jesus, you know our hearts. You know everything about every one of us here this morning, young or old. You know where we are afraid and fearful, where we're trying to do things in our own strength and actually we don't know what to do. And Lord, I pray that you would meet with us. I pray that you would help us to ask for your help. And that when we do, we would discover the love for you, that you have for us, and the difference that you want to make for us. Amen.